Well, I'm glad that you all got to laugh when I mentioned about singing, but you know, I may have some talents that you don't know about. You know, the singing of any song, somebody said they hope so. Something would be forthcoming some of these days. But remember, I still carry the pencil in my hand, whoever said that down there. You know, when you meet someone who has written a song or someone close to it, it means a whole lot more to you. I was privileged to be in the fellowship meeting over at Lakeland Street Baptist Church last week. And I was privileged to be in Wichita Falls last Friday night. We drove up last Friday afternoon and back Friday night to speak at a mission conference. And the man who is the music director there, Brother Charles Bartlett, this song, Victory in Jesus, was written by his dad about 1939, I believe. And he sang it over at the fellowship meeting, and we were talking again about it last Friday night. And it was a real blessing to meet the son of the man who had written that song. And I think that sort of makes it take on somewhat of a different meaning when we have met the person or someone who is close to the person who is responsible for it. Brother Shipman just was talking to me a moment ago there while the offering was being taken about the church that he was once serving in on their anniversary. They were challenging the people to get different ones in. I believe it was their 9th anniversary, to make 9 telephone calls and send out 9 cards and visit 9 people. And, you know, I was thinking, in keeping with that, if we would do that for this week, what it might do for us for next Sunday. He pointed out that one woman in that church was responsible for, get this now, 97 people in Sunday school on that one anniversary day. 97 people. Well, it's yet to be seen, if we really try and put our hearts into it, what we can do and what the Lord will do for us. I hope that you'll take these things as a challenge tonight, because after all, our working together for Christ, to get more people in to hear the Word of God, and the potential of getting more people saved is that much greater. So I hope that you'll be in prayer this week, and do work and be faithful, make your telephone calls and the cards and visits. And let's make it a real week of witnessing. And you can rest assured that all of the harvest would not be reaped on anniversary Sunday, but then when the Lord sees fit to do so. You see, God doesn't hold us responsible for the harvest, but He does hold us responsible for planting the seed. We all ought to be seed throwers. Plant the seed and give the credit and honor and praise to the Lord when He brings forth the harvest in His own time. As we continue the series of messages on great chapters of the Bible, I want you to turn to the New Testament and the first epistle of John. 1 John chapter 1 will be our message tonight in this series on the great chapters of the Bible. 1 John, and we shall read together the entire chapter, after we bow together for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, now that our Bibles are opened before us, and we are afforded once again the opportunity of reading together Thy blessed and holy and righteous Word that is true, that is sharper than a sword, that is a light and a lamp, and a hammer and a sword. All of these things Thy Word is to us tonight. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would use this Word to the edification of the saints and the building up in the faith of the believers. And should there be those without the Savior, may this be the means of their turning to Him and having fellowship with Him. And if there should be those without the confines of the church who need a church home, may they come tonight and cast their lots with us and fellowship with this great church. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In the days of his flesh, Jesus Christ had about him 12 disciples, whom he later called apostles. One of them turned out to be a traitor, Judas Iscariot. But three of them, Peter, James, and John, formed what has been commonly referred to as the inner circle of disciples. These three of the 12 were closest to Jesus. Pinpointing it a bit further, the one who was perhaps the closest to him, who laid his head upon the breast of Jesus in their last moments together, was the Apostle John. From his inspired pen comes 5 books of the New Testament. The gospel that bears his name, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistles or letters of John, and the book of the Revelation. Someone has said that with the probable exception of the Song of Solomon, the book of 1st John is the most intimate book in all the Bible. There are twin truths in this first epistle of John, light and life. And in the first chapter of 1 John, light holds preeminence. During the days of John, and this book was probably written somewhere between 85 and 95 AD, about 60 years, more or less, after the death and burial and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, there was abroad in the land a doctrine, a false doctrine, a heresy called Gnosticism, which was an attempt to substitute knowledge for faith. It was an attempt to put everything on a material basis. And that subtle attempt to put everything on a material basis classed and classified the Lord Jesus Christ on a material basis. Therefore, the doctrine of Gnosticism would say that in Christ, like in all other men, there was the element of sin. But John, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, sets out in his gospel that bears his name and in these epistles to establish the preexistence and the deity and the divinity, the Godhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. we must bear in mind that he was very God and very man. If Jesus Christ were not more than man, he is helpless to redeem us from our sins. For if Jesus Christ is not more than man, his bones, like the bones of all other reformers or religious leaders, the Buddha, Confucius, the Hindu gods and leaders of the Hindus, all of these, I say again, if Jesus Christ were nothing more than man, that yonder in a Palestinian grave tonight, the bones of the man who claimed to be more than he was are rotting away. And Jesus Christ was the biggest and greatest imposter the world has ever known. But I believe what God says about his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, that he hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life, and he that hath not the Son shall not see life. Outside Christ tonight, there's only darkness. There's death. There's destruction. There's chaos and confusion. But Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Because I live, ye live also. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. If there be no resurrection, Paul said, then our faith is vain and we are yet in our sins. Easter is just around the corner. But just in case we don't live to make it or Jesus comes again, I want to remind you of the words of the apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of them that slept. For since in Adam all die, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. John takes pen in hand, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he says, this is God. I want you to note three things in this chapter tonight. And first of all, the common ground of our fellowship. Verse 1, that which was from all eternity. The same thought here is in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. It's in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the expression of God. Who is Christ anyhow? Christ is the language of God to reveal the heart and nature of God to man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what John is talking about when he writes that which was from the beginning. Notice what he says about this. Which we have heard. We heard him speak. John heard him when he spoke by the grave of Lazarus and said, get up. John heard him when he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. John heard him when he said to those boisterous waves out there, peace, be still. John heard him when he said to the demons that possessed that poor man that day, be ye out of him. And they ran and got into some swine and they committed suicide. John heard that. John heard Jesus from the Mount of the Beatitudes when he went on to talk about blessed is the man, blessed are the people, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek in heart, and so forth and so on. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. John heard that. John heard Jesus say, I am the Father all one. John heard Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John heard Jesus say, who hath seen the Father, save the Son who is in the bosom of the Father? John heard Jesus say, come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. John heard Jesus say, as you would have others to do to you, do also unto them. John heard Jesus say, ye are the light of the world. John heard Jesus say, ye are the salt of the earth. John heard Jesus from the cross, as he cried, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. John heard Jesus as he gave up the ghost and cried, it is finished. Therefore, John was well qualified to say, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. John saw him walking on the water. John saw him out by the seashore. John saw him as they sat together in their last fellowship, in their last meal, as they sat around the table. John laid his head over on the breast of Jesus, which we have handled. Look at it there in that verse. John handled him. John heard him. John saw him. No wonder John said, we declare unto you that which we have heard and seen and handled, even the word of life, who was manifest unto us, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us. The common ground of our fellowship is the incarnation, the coming of Christ to take upon himself the likeness of our own sinful flesh. This is the ground of our fellowship. We have no fellowship outside him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the anchor. He's the ark of safety. He is the Redeemer. He's the Savior. Without him, without the shedding of his blood, there could be no remission of sin. Without the remission of sin, there could be no fellowship with the Father, because God cannot fellowship with sin. So the common ground of our fellowship is in verse 1 and verse 2. Jesus Christ in the flesh speaking to man about God. Secondly, I want you to notice the companions of our fellowship in verses 3 and 4. Notice he says, that which we have seen in verse 3, declare we unto you, that ye also may have what? Fellowship. That means to share in common. In other words, that we might share in common with the Father and the Son. That we might have fellowship in the Word with Peter and James and John and the others who walked with Jesus. And truly, our fellowship, and here are the companions of our fellowship, our sharing in common is with the Father. Did you get that? Man fellowshipping with God? The creatures fellowshipping with the Creator? Our fellowship is with the Father. Aren't we fortunate tonight that we can have fellowship with him? We who are aliens and strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, foreigners, rebels, children of Satan, children of wrath, children of disobedience. But now we have fellowship with Him. John writes about a family fellowship. That's exactly what he's talking about throughout his epistles. That we might have fellowship, and our fellowship truly is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He that honoreth me honoreth the Father." We don't honor Christ without honoring God. We don't honor God without honoring Christ. Now, as I pointed out before, the pendulum has swung from one extreme to the other in theological circles. Some of you can remember, have lived long enough to remember, or have read and studied how that a few years ago, everybody was out to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not accept Him. Oh, they would worship God, all right, but they would not worship or have anything to do with His Son. And now it's swung to the other extreme, and they say God is dead, but Jesus has lived and still lives. You see how the devil is switching this thing around? I'm glad John said our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, three in one. Oh, what a wonderful thought that is tonight. The companions of our fellowship are God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. And how is this possible? Well, when Jesus went away, He said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm not going to leave you without a companion. I'm going to send you an advocate, a companion, one to walk with you and guide you and teach you and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." Our fellowship truly is with the Father and with the Son. These are the companions of our fellowship. And finally, what about the conditions of our fellowship? How can we have fellowship with Him? He tells us in verse 5 through the end of the chapter, verse 10. There are basically two conditions. One, walking in the light. And two, confessing our sins. There it is in verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you." What is the message, John? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we are yet in the darkness of Satan, in the clutches of Satan, outside the ark, outside Christ, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's the condition of our fellowship. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son cleanseth us from all sin. That other condition is the confession of sin. If we say we have no sin, verse 8 declares, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You ever run across anybody who said that they didn't have any sin? You didn't dare shake hands with them, did you? And if you did you count your fingers when you got your hand back? I'm scared of people like that. There has never been and never shall be but one perfect one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, and He's already passed into the heavens. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Oh, I love verse 9. If we confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that just like God? We come to Him. We deserve everything but something good. And we confess our sins to Him, and He forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Wait just a moment. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And His word is not in us. The conditions then of our fellowship with him are walking in the light. Jesus is the light of the world. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Therefore, if we're going to have fellowship with him, we've got to walk in the light, because darkness and light do not have fellowship. They do not mix and mingle. You turn on the lights, the darkness flees. We must confess our sins. We must ask forgiveness of our sins, and if we do, we can bank everything that we shall ever need on verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do exactly what he said he would do. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I want you to look back at verse 4 before we close. And these things write we unto you. What things? Well, about the incarnation, about our fellowship, about the family relationship. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Our joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Our joy is dependent upon Christ. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like that I'm saved. I don't feel this and that and the other. When conditions are one way, we feel one way, and the set of circumstances over here will make us feel some other way. Our salvation, our fellowship, our joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Our joy is dependent upon Jesus. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is our happiness. And shame on us if we're not willing to share this joy and this peace and happiness with somebody else. There's somebody else out there in the world tonight that needs what we have. Let's tell them about Jesus this week. What do you say? Let's use this week of witnessing to go out into this community and into all the communities of this city and knock on doors and invite people to know the same fellowship with the Father and with the Son that we know. If we found the cure to some fatal disease and we did not share it with the medical authorities and we did not tell the peoples of the world, it would be a rather selfish and criminal act, would it not? How criminal and how selfish are we to have Christ in our hearts and never share him with anyone else? It is my prayer that this week of witnessing will be a week of sharing the joy and the fellowship that we have that's with the Father and with the Son. Let us stand with our heads bowed for our closing invitation here. I realize tonight that probably for the most part, I have been speaking to Christians. And somehow I feel that to take these verses of Scripture and to break them down, it sort of strengthens us for the task that are before us, does it not? And I don't know your heart and life tonight, but if for some reason you don't have the fellowship that a child of God ought to have with the Father and with Jesus Christ, I want you to come tonight and have that fellowship and that joy full and complete and restored into your heart and life. You may be here tonight and you're outside the confines of the church and you'd like to come by letter or by baptism or by statement. You may be here tonight without Jesus and you don't know him as your Savior. We want you to come and trust him. You may be here as a member and you don't have that fellowship sweet in your soul that ought to be. While we sing the first stanza, will you come tonight and give God a chance in your life? Will you do it right now while we sing?